How blessed we are to be together on another occasion this Lord's Day to sing, to pray, and to study, and to bring our worship unto God Almighty. We're glad you're with us. We have visitors with us, and we're delighted to see you. It's to the lamp and light of God's Word that we direct our attention. As the psalmist said, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, in Psalm 119, 105. Appreciate Jason leading us in that song that directs our attention to the heart. As you pick up your Bible and read its pages, you'll find that mention is made of different kinds of hearts, both good and bad. For example, the Scriptures reveal a hard heart, as mentioned in Mark chapter 16 and verse 14. There's the good heart, represented in the parable of the sower in Luke 8 and verse 15. In his letter to the Romans, Paul spoke of an impenitent heart, Romans 2 and verse 5. As well, there's an obedient heart, Romans 6, 17, and on that goes. We could spend a lot of time just talking about different hearts. But this afternoon, I'd like to take just a few moments of our time and talk about a merry heart. Thanks to Andrew for the reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that talks about a time and season for everything. And in that reading, it was noted from verse 4 that there is a time to laugh and a time to dance, which would indicate that there is a time for us to possess a merry heart. And to have a merry heart is to be characterized by joyful exuberance. It is to be jolly, to be festive, to be happy, and to be joyous. And whether you realize it or not, there are a number of songs in this book that are joy and happiness songs that are designed to stimulate our hearts in such a way as to be merry. And we might call attention to just a few of those, like number 321, where the writer suggests, Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crime that I have done, he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. And then the words of the chorus. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now listen. And now I am happy all the day. Number 156 is also a joy and happiness song which expresses a wonderful thought that ought to bring joy to our hearts. He included me. I'm so happy in Christ today that I go singing along my way. Yes, I'm so happy to know and say Jesus included me too. Gladly I read whosoever may come to the fountain of life today. But when I read it, I always say Jesus included me too. Ever God's Spirit is saying come, hear the bride saying no longer roam. But I'm sure while they're calling home, Jesus included me too. Freely come drink, words the soul to thrill. Oh, with what joy they my heart do feel. For when he said, whosoever will, Jesus included me too. Jesus included me. Yes, he included me. When the Lord said, whosoever, he included me. Jesus included me. Yes, he included me. When the Lord said, whosoever, he included me. And then next 157, he keeps me singing. Within my heart, a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low, fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath his sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way, though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Soon he's coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall live with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. And many others could be mentioned. Joy and happiness songs. And certainly the Scriptures encourage each one of us to possess a merry heart. And I reckon if anyone could have developed a negative outlook on life to be down and depressed, it would have been Solomon who, when he looked upon the works of his hands in the book of Ecclesiastes, he said all was vanity and vexation of spirit. But he does not take such an approach to life. Rather, he encourages us to have a merry heart. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, beginning in verse 7, for example, he says, "Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which she hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." That's Ecclesiastes 11, 9 through 10. And then over in chapter 11 and in verse 9, he says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God shall bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." It needs to be recognized that ours is not a joy that is dependent upon external circumstances. From the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3 and verse 17, the prophet said, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." He said, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." There might have been those who had lived during those circumstances and looking at the things going on around them and thought all is doom and gloom and there's no way that I can be happy. There's no way that I can be joyful. How can I have a merry heart? But he said in such circumstances, "I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." And so he made a choice to have a merry heart. He said, "The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He'll make me to walk upon mine high places." I believe that joy in those kind of circumstances expressed a great faith and confidence that he had in the Lord God Almighty. As you think about ours not being dependent upon external circumstances, think about the Apostle Paul as he writes the letter to the church at Philippi. And the letter to the Philippians is known as one of the prison epistles. And yet, the keynote of the book of Philippians is joy. And he would say in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." How in the world could a man in circumstances, as Paul found himself in, say rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice? How could he say be careful for nothing? That is, don't be overcome by anxiety. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Yet there are those today who seem to have a hard time smiling or laughing or having a merry heart. And yet as I read this book, I am impressed with the fact that the Lord wants us to be a people that have a merry heart. And there are several things that I've come to discover in my study about a merry heart that I'd like to share with you briefly this afternoon. I came to realize that a merry heart, first of all, is the product of God's goodness. When you go back to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you read the setting of the completion of the temple. And there was a lot of work and preparation that went into that. Remember that it came into David's mind to build a house for God, but God said that he would not be allowed to do that because he had been a man of war and shed much blood. And yet his son Solomon would build the temple. Though David would not physically do that, while he was yet alive, he made a lot of preparations, even of his own good or his own prosperity he gave to the building of that. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we read where Solomon had made an end of praying and the temple is filled with the glory of God. And in verse 10, the Bible says, "On the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart." Why? "For the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people." Whenever the Lord's goodness has been impressed upon the hearts of His people, they have gone away with a merry heart. And if there's anything that stands out in a reading and study of this book is the fact that God is so good. It's emphasized time and again in the book of Exodus 34 and in verse 6. For example, when the Lord passed by before Moses, it is said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Might underscore abundant in goodness. It's not that He is just a God of goodness, but He is abundant in goodness. You think of that word abundant, suggesting kind of filled with a cup and running over. In Psalm 31 and in verse 19, the psalmist exclaimed, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." And as the psalmist said again in Psalm 73 and verse 1, truly God is good. We cannot emphasize that enough. But His goodness is perhaps best demonstrated in the giving of His only begotten Son. How that in John 3 and verse 16, perhaps the first passage we learned and committed to memory. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When I allow that to fill my heart, how can I not have a heart that is merry? We have every reason to be merry, do we not? Because we have a God who is so, so good. A merry heart is the product of God's goodness. A second thing I came across in my study as I sought to find out what the Bible says about a merry heart is the fact that a merry heart makes us look cheerful. I can take us to the Book of Wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13, where wise Solomon said, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance." Now, your countenance is the expression on your face. And some folks look sad as if they've lost their last friend, as if they've been weaned on sour grapes. It's kind of like the question in the book of Genesis chapter 40 and in verse 7, when Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house said to Joseph, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" And that might be a good question for somebody to ask me. Wherefore look ye so sadly today? Why are you so sad? We sing the song, and it's one of the joy and happiness songs in this book, a favorite of many, "Sing and Be Happy." We might take time just to remind ourselves of the message of this song, which has underneath its title, Psalm 98 and verse 4, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, rejoice and sing praise." And the song says, "If the skies above you are gray, you're feeling so blue, if your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend. Trust in His promises grand. Often we're troubled and tired, sick with sorrow and pain. There are others living in sin, blessed with earthly gain. Take new courage. We cannot tell what the morrow may bring. When the dark clouds vanish away, then your heart truly can sing. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky. When it seems the fortunes of earth frown and pass us by, there are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust Him each day, we shall have pleasure untold." Sometimes we're always looking down. We don't see the rainbow above. We don't see that silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. And the song urges us in the words of the chorus, "Sing and be happy. Press on to the goal." Sing and what? Be happy. "Trust Him who leads you. He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful. Look to Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him in song. Sing and be happy today." And there are some who will sing that and they'll frown as they sing it. And I don't understand how you could sing a song like that and frown while you do it. You know, it takes more effort to frown than it does to smile. Doctors tell us that. Those who are familiar with the muscles in your face tell you. You take more effort. You have to work harder to frown than you do to smile. Smiling comes more natural. And remember, you're never fully dressed without a smile. All of us need to let our faces shine with the ornament of a cheerful look. As the wise man said, a merry heart makes us look cheerful. But again, from the book of Proverbs, in chapter 15 and verse 15, Solomon gives us more information about a merry heart. He says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. And so a merry heart provides for a feast. Do you enjoy going to a feast or to a banquet? I do. A merry heart is like the joy of going to such an occasion. Is your life like going to a banquet? If not, let me encourage you to try having a merry heart and see if that makes a difference. From Proverbs 15 and then verse 15. But then from Proverbs 17 and verse 22, a merry heart does good like a medicine. That's what he says. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Now, we put a lot of emphasis on medicine today, and there are those who pay great prices for medicines. Did you know that a merry heart does good like a medicine? And there are those who, in the secular world, are even realizing the value of a merry heart. In fact, writing in Better Homes and Garden recorded this. New research shows that humor is good medicine and can actually help keep you in good health. That's nothing new, is it? That's not some new revelation. That's something that the wise man revealed so long ago in the book of Proverbs chapter 17. And so the one who made us, who knows us better than we know ourselves, and even those in the medical community, has prescribed a remedy for our lives. And that's a merry heart. Now don't misunderstand me or misrepresent me. I'm not telling you to quit taking your medicine. Or that if a doctor prescribes something that you ought not take it. Or that if you have a merry heart that you'll never get sick. But I'm just pointing out, as the book teaches, that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And you might like to try that for whatever that's worth to you. There are those who have indicated that those who have a good hearty laugh release some kind of an endorphin that's a natural pain reliever. One fellow said he laughed so much he hadn't been in pain for a while. But you might think about that as you think about the value of a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. As I come to the New Testament, I realize that a merry heart also causes us to rejoice when the lost is found. Sometimes we do not show enough care and concern for those who leave the Father's house and then return to the fold. But in Luke 15, the Lord told three stories about lost things that show the Father's compassion on the lost and how concerned we should be for those who go astray. And the joy that should overwhelm us when the lost is found. In Luke 15, he tells of the lost sheep, the lost piece of silver, and the lost son. He begins in verse 4, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And Jesus said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." I suggest that a failure to cultivate and develop a merry heart keeps us from rejoicing when the lost is found, keeps us from rejoicing with them that do rejoice. And when we have a merry heart, it causes us to rejoice when the lost is found. But too many are like the elder brother represented in Luke 15 and in verse 28, when he was angry and would not go in, and his father had to come out to him and entreat him. And the elder brother said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." Can you see the lack of joy, not a merry heart, but bitterness? And certainly we don't want to be characterized by the spirit manifested by the elder brother. But there are those who are critical toward the one who returns and have this self-righteous disposition that I've never transgressed at any time, and this jealous disposition, you never gave me. And certainly a spirit like that is the one that represented the Pharisees and scribes who murmured because Jesus received sinners in Luke 15, 1 through 2. And we don't want to be characterized by the disposition that marked them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we read where the Apostle Paul made mention of the brother that was involved in immorality, addressed that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and the action that was to be taken, how they were to put away from among themselves that wicked person. And he said, with such an one know not to eat. And he said, sufficient unto such a man as this punishment. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 6. And it was effective. It worked. It brought him to repentance. And Paul said in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 2 that contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore, I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. And so it's a time of rejoicing when the lost is found and the one that's gone astray comes back. And so when I have a merry heart, it causes me to express that joy and rejoicing on such occasions. And then finally, a merry heart is going to encourage our singing. In James chapter 5 and verse 13, James said, is any among you merry? Let him sing psalms. And so we sing, as the song says, I sing because I'm happy. I'm happy today. And we have so many reasons to be happy today. I'm happy in Jesus. And when we have a merry heart, it causes us to sing. And when you have a merry heart and you sing from a merry heart, it encourages you to sing enthusiastically, to sing so as to be heard, just like Paul and Silas in the prison. In the book of Acts chapter 16, the Bible says the prisoners heard them. They weren't concerned about being heard. In fact, it was their singing that helped to bring about the conversion of the jailkeeper as he came to them and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And there may be those who would ask a question like that, who would be moved to make their lives right with God because they hear us singing and the teaching that is done in those songs. One of the things that we do by way of singing is to praise God. Hebrews 2:12. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee, the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 2 and verse 12. And so we sing praise to God. We're praising God. We're exalting Him and expressing our heart's adoration toward Him. But another reason we sing is to teach and admonish one another. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Perhaps our singing would be more enthusiastic and spiritual if we'd sing from a merry heart. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. What is it then? I'll pray with the Spirit and I'll pray with the understanding also. I'll sing with the Spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding also. And so a merry heart is something that the book often encourages us to possess. We sing songs that are designed to stimulate that. We learn several things about it. It's the product of God's goodness, makes us look cheerful, provides for a feast, does good like a medicine, causes us to rejoice when the lost is found, and encourages our singing. A merry heart really comes from a right relationship with the Lord. And sometimes we deprive ourselves of a merry heart because of a lack of fullness when it comes to our relationship with God. I read in the book of Acts where joy and rejoicing came when folks obeyed the gospel. For example, in Acts chapter 8, we read where in verse 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the Bible says in verse 8, there was great joy in that city. When Christ is preached, it brings great joy. In fact, when Paul wrote the letter of Philippi, he said that Christ is preached and I therein rejoice. And verse 12 says that they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. When folks were baptized, it brought joy. Just like in Acts 8, when the Ethiopian heard Philip the evangelist preached unto him Jesus. And as he went on his way, they came unto a certain water. And he said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And in Acts 8:36, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon the confession of his faith, he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, notice what the Bible says about the eunuch. He went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing. Went on his way rejoicing. Why? He's found the one that the prophet spoke of. The one who gave himself for us. And now he's in a right relationship with him. And that's true in Acts chapter 16, when the jailer that we just spoke of took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, was baptized, he and all his straightway. The Bible says in Acts 16 and verse 34, when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And so when you do what these folks did, hear the gospel of Christ and obey it, and the repentance of your sins, confession of your faith, and being baptized for the remission of your sins, it brings great joy. It brings joy to you. It brings joy to those who are around you. It can bring joy to your whole house. It can bring joy to a city when that occurs. And the way to maintain that kind of joy is by maintaining a proper relationship with God, by abiding in Jesus. In John chapter 15, the Lord talked about the importance of staying connected to Him. As a branch cannot bear fruit except it's attached to the vine. He said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. In John 15, 6. And he said in verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you. Why did you say all of this, Lord? So that we know when it comes to vine and branches, it's important that the vine stay attached to the branch and the branch to the vine. No, he said, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You see, fullness of joy comes from a fullness with the Lord, a proper relationship with Him and being what we ought to be and abiding in Him and His words abiding in us. And all that happens like it's supposed to. It's going to result in us having a merry heart. And so may God help us to examine ourselves, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, and to realize that there is a time to laugh. There is a time to have a merry heart. And the Bible encourages us to possess that. And it may be that there are those in this audience this afternoon who have not yet come to the Lord. You're in the position the jailer was, the people in Samaria were, the Ethiopian was before baptism. You realize that you need to believe with all of your heart, do you? Are you willing to put that faith into action? Would you be willing to, upon repentance and confession of your faith, to be baptized? We stand ready to assist you in that. That you can have a merry heart. You can be full of joy. You realize this world has its trouble and sorrow, but there is a solution to all that, and the solution is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Maybe you've already been baptized into Christ, but for some reason you've lost your joy. You need to examine yourself. Maybe your life's not right with the Lord. You need to examine that and come back to Him, to abide in Him, to let His words abide in you. And as the Lord said, that your joy may be full. And if we can assist you in that in any way, we stand ready to help you. As together we stand and sing, we cordially invite you to come.